The following podcast contains strong language and adult themes and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hanky Digital presents The Skin. Show me what lies beneath. An audiobook podcast by Christian Heinke. Chapter 4. Inside. The next time Andy saw Catherine was at Safeway in Easton. He was pushing his cart to the checkout, trying not to be seen by the annoying Rose Smitherton, when he spotted her. She was at the end of the line, wearing black jeans, a plain black t-shirt, flip-flops, and her hair pulled back in a ponytail. Nondescript. Simple. Her girl-next-door outfit. Unspectacular. So why was his heart suddenly racing? He was wondering whether to flee or attack when he saw her glance at the newsstand and freeze. She picked up the paper. The headline was unreadable, but Kathy's reaction, with her lips forming a silent shit, conveyed that it was not good news. She continued reading as she put her groceries on the checkout conveyor. Lost in thought, her hand fumbled for a glass bottle of non-fat milk and let go too soon. The bottle fell to the floor, shattering and spraying white spray all around her. "Oh, shit," Kathy exclaimed loudly, bent down and began picking up the pieces, apologizing. A few women turned around and Andy realized they recognized her because they started whispering to each other. "It's her, that Williams, what a klutz." "Yes, and she doesn't look as good as in the pictures." "And she's thin." "Well, she doesn't have an ounce of fat on her ribs." "And no manners either." Paying no further attention to the women, Andy pushed his cart aside and walked over to Catherine. "Hey," he greeted her. She looked up and smiled. "Hey, yourself." But suddenly she exclaimed, "Ow." She had cut herself on one shard. A single drop of blood fell into the puddle of milk and melted into a pink stain. Catherine sucked her thumb. An employee rushed over with a bucket and mop. "Are you okay?" asked Andy, helping her up. "No," she replied, more seriously than he expected. She pointed to the newspaper in her cart. "Only 4 left. Third top model in a row murdered," read the lurid headline. "Jesus," he gasped. That was all he could think. "Yes, Jesus fucking Christ," Catherine agreed loudly. Bystanders muttered in confusion. A woman at the checkout counter crossed herself. Catherine smiled and looked around. "Sorry." They paid and left the store. She joined him and whispered, "I keep forgetting I don't live in New York anymore." He had to grin. "That didn't bother you before." She paused and looked at him. "You're right. It's true." He looked at her. "Hey, I'm sorry. Catherine cupped her fingers over his mouth. "You don't have to say anything, Andy. Of all the people I've hurt in my life, you're the one I regret the most." They walked to their car. A German SUV bore the name of a Native American tribe, a Cayenne. Andy had once suggested to a drunken Porsche dealer at a cocktail party the Germans should name their cars after the people they had wiped out. He got a good kick from Fran. He didn't know why he thought of it now. Perhaps Catherine's words held immense value to him until he encountered Fran. But now, after all these years, they meant nothing to him. "Of course," Fran disagreed. "Andy, my darling, you've never been able to fool me. Then why are you always so good at it yourself?" "I don't know, Fran. I really don't." "Andy?" Catherine asked quietly. I'm sorry, Kath, what can I say? Just that we were kids then, forgiven and forgotten. Catherine tilted her head to the side. Okay, she said, and for a moment, Andy couldn't tell her face from Fran's. Now he had the responsibility to speak. He pointed to the newspaper. Do you want to talk about it? She looked at him for a long time, then nodded. Yes. If I'm honest, yes, I'd like to. Is there a coffee shop around here? The Coffee East Cafe was still as cozy as he remembered it. A mouth-watering cheesecake graced the table. Andy ordered a slice for each of them. Unlike the Safeway supermarket, Catherine was recognized and approached immediately. She went through the procedure of signing a few napkins, a sports magazine, and even the waitress's receipt. It's on the house, of course, Miss Williams, the young woman said as she brought them the cake. I should take you out more often, Andy said, smiling. Catherine looked at him. Trust me, Andy, it's not that great being a celebrity. Everything has its price. She sipped her coffee. He nodded. Of course. Any chance you can get me Knicks tickets? Catherine raised her eyebrows. She began. Andy gently touched her chin. Just kidding, Kath. I'm sorry, she replied, trying to smile. I'm not in the mood for jokes right now. Only now did he notice Kathy was not only dressed casually, but all in black. She was in mourning, in grief for her dead friend. He felt like an idiot.
Wrong, Mr. Peterson.
You are an idiot. Sorry, Kath, you good friends with Mia, weren't you? Catherine nodded, took another sip of her coffee, and looked out the window at Goldsboro Street. Let's just say, Mia and I went through a lot. What did you say? She yelled over the loud music. Beautiful, you, very, very beautiful, the little Japanese man yelled. He was reaching right up to her chest, and it looked as if he thought her nipples were microphones. At least he was talking into them instead of her ear. Catherine Williams, yes, beautiful. As long as he didn't think they were the buttons of an iPod and try to play with them, she would let him talk into her nipples. Suddenly, she found the idea quite amusing. She'd taken some speed in the limo to fight boredom. However, the Japanese man's nonstop chatter brought it back. She looked around for Mia to help her out. The El Rey on Wilshire was packed, and it took Catherine a moment to spot her friend at the bar. Mia was having an intense conversation with a handsome man. Dark hair, perfect West Coast material. He was wearing an expensive suit with a black, Kill Bill Gates t-shirt. Mia didn't seem to recognize the man. Catherine did. That's why seeing his t-shirt made her smile. Exactly the beaming smile that could be seen on many covers of Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. Just then, he glanced over and their eyes met. Catherine's mind suddenly fell silent. Something incredible happened. The pain inside her disappeared, receding into the darkness. Just like that. Could it be that? Beautiful, the Japanese shouted. His tongue was wet, and she felt his saliva splashing on her cleavage. It distracted her for a moment. When she looked back at the man at the bar, he and Mia were gone. No, please don't do this to me. Sumimasen, she said, leaving the short, damp Japanese man where he stood. Knowing Mia, she would find them upstairs in the VIP area. She had to hurry. Mia had been on coke all day and almost performed oral sex on the bouncer as a greeting. Mia's behavior made Catherine nervous. She made her way through the chaos of dancing bodies. She wasn't wrong. Mia was strutting down the stairs. What is it? Catherine asked her innocently. Mia rolled her eyes. What a freak. No coke, no H. Weirdo. Sounds challenging, Catherine noted. They exchanged brief glances. Then Mia shrugged. Be my guest. Saying that, she threw herself into the arms of a guy who looked exactly like the new contender to play James Bond. Then Catherine realized with astonishment, it was indeed the hopeful 007 actor. A few months ago, she had woken up in a hotel bed with his head between her legs. Try as she might, Catherine couldn't remember his name. Shouldn't you remember the name of someone whose head you intimately met? The nameless man nodded at her.
He seemed to remember. How embarrassing. One thing was for sure. Mia would not have a boring evening. In the VIP area of the club, there were a few bodyguards, a few of the man's friends, and a lot of models. One guard looked at her, recognized her face, and smiled. "Mr. Baxter's over there." Catherine nodded. Unlike Mia, Catherine read a couple of online newspapers during her intercontinental flight, in addition to using illegal drugs and movie stars. Then she stood before him. Three other members of the Magnificent Seven were lounging on a long couch, Inez, Lauren, and Anu. Baxter sat between them. Inez already had her hand on his thigh. When Baxter noticed Catherine, he took Inez's hand, motioned for a polite kiss, and firmly pushed her back. Then he stood up to greet Catherine. "I know you," he said. He extended his hand. "I know," Catherine replied. She took his hand. And again she fell completely silent. The pain faded away in surprise, and from one moment to the next, it was gone for a long, long time. "Yes, we've been through a lot." Wherever Catherine had been before, she had returned. She looked at him. A single tear rolled down her flawless face. "Hey," Andy began reassuringly, taking her hand. She lowered her eyes. With her free hand, she wiped a few grains of sugar off the table. I lied," she said. "I'm not in therapy. To be honest, I dropped out. And when I was with you, I thought maybe I could ask you to help me. But when I saw you again, I couldn't. She fell silent. He wondered what she expected from him. "If you want my services as a therapist, perhaps we should go to my office instead," he said. And a nasty, deeply buried part of him hoped he was wrong. "No," she replied hesitantly. "I think seeing you again made me realize I don't need you right now." Catherine looked deep into his eyes. "I mean, not as a therapist." Andy looked at her, confused. Catherine continued, "I've never felt safe since my accident." She paused for a long moment, and he knew what she couldn't say. "After Danny and Richard died, I didn't feel safe. Then that terrible thing with Mia," she added. "And now Anu, I don't know what to do. I just want to feel safe again. Like I used to. Like I felt with you." She stroked his hand gently with her thumb. "Hey, shrink." It was only a small, harmless touch, but he still got a strong erection. He found it embarrassing and adolescent and blushed like a schoolboy. "Jesus, Andy, she wants nothing from you. She just feels alone and needs a friend right now. Just be her friend." "No," he groaned softly, jumping up so quickly that he banged his knee against the edge of the table. The coffee sloshed over the edge of the cup and formed a small pool on the table, making the whole situation even more embarrassing. "I'm sorry, Kathy," he stammered, "but I have to go." "Andy?" She looked at him questioningly. "Wait a minute. Let me explain." Catherine tried to stop him, but he was already grabbing the bag of groceries and hurrying out. At the door, he bumped into a couple. Without apologizing or turning around, he left the cafe. She was left alone at her table. The other guests had noticed the little incident. They stared at her curiously. The young waitress approached the table and cleared her throat. "Was Mr. Peterson not a fan of our coffee?" she asked politely. Catherine smiled shyly at her and the staring guests. "Oh no, the coffee was wonderful, but I have a feeling he is not a fan of mine anymore." That said it all. The waitress lowered her head in embarrassment, and the others turned away. Catherine swallowed. How stupid of her to surprise Andy like that. She had broken his heart before, and apparently, he still hadn't gotten over it. Well done, just like the good old Catherine, the goddess Williams. Her cell phone rang. Well, great, she thought. Why didn't they call 5 minutes earlier before she screwed everything up? Without looking at the number, Catherine answered the call. Yes? Is this Catherine Williams? Whispered a voice on the other end of the line. A pervert. This was just what she needed. Wrong number, she replied angrily and hung up. The phone rang again. This time, she looked at the display. There was no number. She sighed and picked up. "Listen, I'm really not in the mood for any bullshit right now," she said firmly. The caller didn't answer. Catherine listened to the muffled static on the line, interrupted by a metallic screech. What was it? A saw, perhaps? "Catherine Williams?" the whispering voice asked so suddenly that Catherine couldn't help but jump. "What do you want?" she shouted angrily. "I am alive," the voice told her. Then the stranger hung up. Catherine slowly closed her cell phone. "Miss Williams?" "Yes," Catherine cried out. Her whole body was shaking. "Oh, excuse me." The friendly waitress was back at the table. "I didn't mean to startle you. I just wanted to see if you wanted anything else." Catherine forced a smile. "No, thank you. Check, please." "Please, I..." The young woman looked at her guiltily. "It's okay," Catherine reassured her. "Everything's fine." She took a deep breath and went to look after the waitress. When she returned a few minutes later with the bill, she gave her a generous tip. Catherine was just putting the change in her purse when her cell phone rang again. Since the vibrating alarm was also on, the device danced on the tabletop. She looked at it as if it were a hairy spider bristling with venom. She gathered all her courage and picked up the phone. She flipped it open and pressed the button to answer the call. "Listen to me, you," she shouted. "Catherine Williams?" a high-pitched female voice asked.
"Yes?"
"I'm Detective Helen Louisiani, NYPD. Can you tell me, Miss Williams, where you are at this moment?" Thank you for listening. To learn more about Heinke Digital Audiobook Podcasts and its author Christian Heinke, please visit heinke.digital. Would you like more? Then listen to Christian Heinke's crime thriller from the future, Damocles, heinke.podig.io.